Hey guys, welcome to the Mental Makeover Podcast. I'm Lauren Curtis. You've probably heard the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side, but I believe it's greener where you water it. This podcast is here to provide you with meaningful advice from myself and others in order to give your little patch of grass the best chance to grow and flourish. Hello everyone, welcome back. Let's get into it, hey? I was watching an episode of Gogglebox UK, and that's basically a show where they film people watching TV. So you're seeing people's reaction to a TV show that you might have watched. And it's just really fascinating seeing how other people respond. And the UK just have such a great sense of humor that it's just so funny. I don't really watch the Australian one anymore. The UK one, Reese and I love it. And they were showing an episode of, I think it was Love Island, and I don't normally watch that, so I've seen snippets from obviously like this show, and I couldn't help but notice how utterly depressing it was that all of these beautiful women were crying over mediocre men. I know in their eyes, like to them, these men are attractive, but from an outsider's perspective, or at least no, from my personal perspective, I was like, oh, that's such a, like, really him? You are like an absolute supermodel, and this guy is average at best. Again, very subjective opinion. It got me thinking that all it takes for a woman to have her self-confidence shattered and her identity shattered is to date the wrong man once. And that's a generalization because a lot of women these days are kind of realizing their worth, what they bring to a relationship, what they bring to the world. Generally, I think as women, we're in a battle between being very placid and pleasant and quiet and agreeable and sweet, and then being confident and being this like queen, you know, this strong woman and this independent woman, empowered, self-assured, self-confident, like powerhouse. Like both things we're kind of being told are important, but yet they're kind of contradictory because to be agreeable and pleasant and quiet, you kind of have to put other people's comfort and needs and wants ahead of your own so that you're not ruffling feathers, everyone's happy around you. But when you think about successful men, for example, it's very much like a shark mentality where it's you basically have to do whatever you can in order to get to the top. You can, you know, you put yourself first in all circumstances. And for a woman to do the same kind of thing would be looked down upon because we are told to be so accommodating to everyone at our own expense. And so I was thinking about that when I was watching this show. And you even see it on like social media and TikTok, all these women speaking about how they've just been broken up with by this guy or these guys that treat them horribly and how men suck and all this. Growing up, I feel like stereotypically, if we're throwing generalizations out there, which I am, boys are often raised to be strong and confident and women are raised to be sweet and pleasant. Of course, it depends on your parents. So, you know, I would be so proud if I raised a girl that was, you know, confident and loud and proud and outgoing. That would be amazing. But generally, if we're talking about previous generations, like women were raised to be mothers, women were raised to take care of the household and family and, you know, just be soft, not within weak, but just be soft. And men are raised to be hard. And of course, not all men are like that. Not all men like that. Not all women like that. And that's what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about generalizations. I feel like slowly and surely we're becoming more accepting of encouraging men and women to kind of stray outside stereotypical gender roles or traditional gender roles, but for the most part we're still kind of in the depths of it. And I'm saying all of this because I was thinking, well, how can a woman like that, and in this case the girl on Love Island, how can she just be this beautiful woman and not see what she brings to the table? And I know it's not just looks, maybe her personality sucks, I don't know, but she seems sweet from like the few minutes I saw. At least compared to him anyway. I mean, all the women on there are beautiful. That's kind of the whole point of the show, right? And just in general anyway, not even talking about this show in particular, just in general, like these amazing women that are with subpar men. And I think probably a lot of it comes down to how we are brought up in society, which doesn't really encourage us to shine bright, as cliche as that sounds. It's, again, it's changing. I keep putting disclaimers out there because I don't want people to say, eh. I just would like to know how different women would be if 30 years ago something just changed in society and we were like, you know what? Women need to be the breadwinners. Women need to be the ones that are dominant and strong and hard and confident. And how different we would be as young adults and adults, because men seem to overinflate their own importance. Not all the time, obviously, but a lot of the time, a lot of men, some men, I don't know how to... I'm going to offend someone by saying anything that I say regardless. So, you know, just grain of salt, guys, grain of salt. But yeah, an overinflated sense of importance sometimes. It's fascinating. I would love to know what effect that would have on dating in the modern day, because so often women don't realize their worth, but men overinflate their own worth. On the TikToks I see of women dating these men that are just treat them horribly, and I'm like, do you realize how much of a catch you are? Like, women fight over these mediocre men, but why aren't the mediocre men fighting over these amazing women? And I know that they are sometimes, but in the, you know, scheme of things, it feels like it just doesn't happen. So that provides the context of how this topic came to mind, which is how easy it is for a man to damage a woman's self-confidence and self-esteem. Because I see it so often that these beautiful, incredible, talented, smart, funny, accomplished women date one, what's a nice way of putting this? Horrible man who treats her terribly, but yet she still loves. How all it takes is that encounter. It could be a fling. It could be a relationship that lasts years. All it takes is that encounter for her whole identity and sense of self and self-confidence to be just out of whack, inaccurate, shattered, warped, sometimes for the rest of her life. For example, she starts dating a guy. They get on really well. They have lots in common. People tend to put their best foot forward when they're just starting out in a new relationship, so you don't really see all of their sides until you spend a significant amount of time with them, and that normally means living with them. It could even be something like going traveling with them, just something that kind of gives you an insight into that part of their personality that they've kind of hidden away or that hasn't had a chance to come out yet, perhaps. They're probably not even doing it consciously. This just hasn't had a chance to come out yet. And those things might start off quite small at the beginning. It could be a tone that he uses with her that makes her feel like she's being too much, like she's asking too much, or she's being annoying. Or it could be a slight comment on the way that she looks that could by itself seem fine. Perhaps it's, oh, I think you look better in pants instead of shorts or something like that. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty obviously like an insult, actually. I don't know what a good example is, but small little criticisms that eventually become more overt and more frequent. It could be looking at other women very obviously in front of her. It could be if she asks a question and he laughs at how stupid the question is, or anytime she asks something, it's not a safe space because, you know, if he knows the answer and she doesn't know the answer, he's going to laugh at her and make her feel stupid. It's like all the little small things that accumulate over the years that if that just happens like a one-off, it is what it is. But oftentimes it happens over a long period of time and you don't even realize the damage it's doing until the damage is done. And it, of course, it could be just a blatantly violent relationship from the outset. It could be a very violent man who is either verbally or physically abusive. And if that woman comes from an abusive household when she was growing up, then she's probably going to see that as a lot more normal, or she'll be more accepting of that kind of behavior because it's what she's seen all throughout her life already. Whereas someone who had a very safe upbringing would see that kind of behavior and be like, what the hell? Like, you're a psycho. But if that's all you're used to, if that's all you've known, that's not going to stand out as crazy, is it? Because you've seen it modeled many, many times before this particular encounter. And you know what the scariest part of this whole thing is? I'm jumping ahead. But like, okay, I remember when I had first moved to Sydney, I think I might have told this story before. Gosh, I've lost track of the stories I've told. But when I first moved there, I was introduced to someone by a mutual friend, and he was an attractive guy. We had, good, chemistry, I guess, but we were so deeply incompatible and different. I don't dislike him now, and I don't want to criticize him because we are different, because that then implies that I'm better than him when I'm not. I'm just very different to him. But he was incredibly outgoing, probably could sell an ice to Eskimos, you know, that kind of just very flirtatious with everybody, gave off like salesman vibes, like real estate agent vibes. You know, those really, really confident people that are just insanely confident that you almost wish you had some of their confidence. But it also came across as very arrogant to me sometimes too. But again, that's just because we were so different. I remember like I had been single most of my entire life up until that point, so I was about 20 then, I think. And I really wanted a relationship at that point. I wasn't single like by choice. I mean, I was fussy about who I dated, but I wanted to be in a relationship. I wasn't trying to stay single. Anytime I tried to have a serious conversation with him, he would make me feel like I was one of those girls that's like, oh my God, can we get married tomorrow? It was as if he, because we were on such different paths and he didn't want a serious relationship and I did, anytime I brought up anything to do with the future or whatever, he made me feel like I was crazy for wanting to have a conversation about a future where it's if there is one, like what he wants out of a relationship or his future. And so because he had that reaction, I was wary and hesitant going forward when I was speaking to other guys because it obviously burnt out. I think I was actually the one that put it to an end because I was like, we're just so incompatible. But going forward after that encounter, I was like, oh, maybe I need to tone that down. Like maybe I am being too much. Maybe I'm being too forward. Maybe I shouldn't be forthcoming with what I want from a partner or a relationship. Maybe I shouldn't even be mentioning relationships. Maybe I need to be playing it cool and hard to get and blah, blah, blah. Just because this one guy and I were incompatible and I took his response to my questions as a flaw of mine and not just the fact that we were incompatible, because it wasn't a flaw of his either. He didn't have to answer those questions if he didn't have answers to them. It's not his fault. Just like it wasn't my fault for having those questions. It's just an incompatibility. And then I think about the next guy that I dated after him, which was the one that I shared on social media for a brief moment in time. And this guy was obsessed with me, like flat out over the top, to the point where he said like, I love you after like a week or something. And I literally Googled, how soon is it to say I love you to someone? Because it kind of weirded me out. Like he was a catch and everything, but I was like, this is too much. And then I came around and I felt like I was kind of on the same page as him. And then we had this like a few weeks where everything was bliss. And then all of a sudden he calls me and was like, this just isn't going to work, but too different. And like shattered my heart into a million pieces after he just so intensely like love bombed me and then just bounced. Ugh, gross. And some of the reasons he gave for us being, have I ever shared this? I think when it happened on social media, I was like, we're just different. We want different things. And I don't think I actually went into detail about what he said, but I think I've perhaps spoken about it since. I can't even remember. Gosh, it was just stuff like, and in hindsight, it's so valid. But at the time I was so upset and so angry. It's just, again, he was just outlining all the ways that we're so different and how in the long term, it just wouldn't work. Like he was really into the gym and working out. And I had always joked about how the only time I'll ever run is if someone's chasing me. And he said, like, you know, I want to go fishing on the weekends, wake up early and go fishing. And I was very against and still am against fishing. And obviously like I don't eat meat. So that just wasn't going to vibe with me and all these little just lifestyle differences that we've had. And at the time I was so disheartened and I was so heartbroken that I was like, God, I need to be better. Like, I literally begged him. I was like, I can go to the gym. I can do these things. And he wasn't even, that's the thing, in hindsight, he was respectful about it. It wasn't like, you're not good enough for me. I even said, like, is it this other girl that you dated? Like, you know, I can't be like her or whatever. She was this, like, kind of at the time, like, Instagram famous or something. I don't know. God, she was horrible. She was really horrible to me. Anyway, long story. That's a whole other story. And I was like, is it like, I'm not good enough. I'm not like her. I don't know what I said. But he was like, do not ever compare yourself to her. Like, she would never compare to you, and you know that, blah, 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 blah. He was really nice considering, like, he wasn't saying you're not good enough. He was saying we are not compatible is what he was saying. And the reasons he gave for the incompatibility were reasons that I then took as my own shortcomings. So because you know, he was saying, you know, I like the gym, you don't like the gym. And so I took that as I'm not good enough because I don't go to the gym, rather than no, like, we're just different. We have different things that we enjoy. And it's fine to overlook those in the short term, but in the long term, those things are going to become problems. And so, you know, I'm grateful, very grateful to him for seeing those when he did, and kind of, you know, it was obviously hard in the moment. It was incredibly hard. It's like the first ever time my heart had been broken, but it was so, so appropriate because we were so incompatible. And when you are in this, like, little rose colored glasses honeymoon period, it's like you just overlook everything. And then I met Reese. And so at this time, I had all these insecurities about things that I needed to do or wasn't good enough at, or, you know, I took all those things that the other guy had said about how different we were. And I was thinking to myself, gosh, I bet any guy that, you know, I date going forward is going to also notice those things about me and think that I'm lacking or that I'm not good enough, or that he would rather be dating someone who does work out and does do this and so stupid when you think about it in hindsight. And so I remember I said to Reese, I think it was via text at this point, I was like, you know, I don't go to the gym, and like as if I was like admitting all these sins that I had, all these really big dark secrets. And he couldn't care less. He was like, you don't need to go to the gym. I don't care if you go to the gym. And he had all these responses for all these things that I said. And I literally cried. Again, I was on my own. He was somewhere else. Like, we weren't together at this point. We were just texting, but I cried. Because I was like, oh, maybe I'm not this inadequate, unappealing woman. Maybe I'm just me. And perhaps me doesn't necessarily vibe with other people. Maybe that's just incompatibility. Maybe that's not like my shortcomings as a person. Part of the reason I can identify this now and look back on all of those situations is because I met Reese, and because I met someone who treats me so well, who I'm so compatible with, that I can now identify other behaviors, other relationships for what they actually were. Because if I had gone on from the other guy and the other guy before him and dated someone that was worse than both of them or the same as both of them, that just would have continually crumpled my self-confidence and my identity. And because I was never like, my whole family, we are very polite, placid people, very, very polite, scared of doing the wrong thing, scared of breaking the rules. So we were never really encouraged to be really confident and outgoing and loud and assertive. I mean, I'm very assertive now, but, and I kind of always have been actually, but that doesn't come naturally to us. So I wonder if we had a different kind of dynamic in our family. And to be like clear, I am very grateful for the upbringing that I had and for my amazing family and siblings. Like, I'm very proud of the person I am today. But I'm just saying that I'm curious, genuinely curious, if I was raised in a different kind of environment, which was very much like stuff men, you can do anything, confidence, you know, put yourself first, don't people please, don't be polite just to be polite, don't accept bad behavior. Not that, again, my parents ever said accept bad behavior or anything like that. It's just, you know, anyway, I think I don't want any of this to come across like I'm speaking badly of my family or my upbringing, because I'm so grateful for both of them. And the person that I am because of my upbringing. But wouldn't that be interesting Because you see those women that are so incredibly confident, they wouldn't let anything shake their confidence or their identity. And yet here I was taking any single little sign that maybe I have a flaw, taking that little sign and running with it and creating this insecurity that I didn't have before just because I wasn't ultra confident to begin with. So I could be a completely different person now if I wasn't with someone like Reese. And that is what freaks me out, because I know so many women are with men that do not treat them fairly or with respect or true love and admiration and kindness. And so they take that treatment as a sign that they aren't good enough, rather than their partner is just horrible and doesn't deserve them. And then that affects every other part of their life. Or they get out of a bad relationship and then meet someone slightly better than the last guy. And then because that last person treated them so poorly, anyone that they meet going forward that treats them even like 10% better is going to seem like a superhero, which is really insidious in itself, because that person might have even more toxic behaviors. But because that new person doesn't do those toxic things that the last person did, this woman might think, oh, he's so much better than the last guy because he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he doesn't do this. But instead, he does all these other things that she's kind of turning a blind eye to, because she's just relieved that she isn't dealing with those last toxic traits, you know? And this cycle can just continuously keep on going. And so you're never actually getting out of it. You do feel like you're improving, but you're not actually improving. I remember, because I hadn't had much experience dating before, the guy that I dated before, Reese, he would do something. Oh my God, it's so embarrassing thinking back about this. I remember telling my family, like, oh my gosh, he would want to sit next to me in a restaurant and be close to me, or he would pull out a chair for me, as if those were some grand gestures of love. Him wanting to sit next to me in a restaurant as opposed to like across the table, or him pulling out a chair or whatever, which is, sure, it's nice. It's not worthy of like swooning over. It's just a gentlemanly thing to do that a lot of men, you know, Reese always opens the door for me and lets me go in first and things like that. That's just like, you know, you're not a bad guy if you don't do those things, but it is a nice way to show your partner that you're caring for them and just being gentlemanly. It's just a really lovely trait. So all of this to say that it is so important to audit your relationships and to know your worth before you enter into a relationship, because if you go into a relationship not feeling like you're good enough, not feeling like you're pretty enough, not feeling like you're a catch, your standards are going to be really, really low, because that's what you feel like you deserve. And so you're going to meet someone who's average at best, who treats you fine, but a lot of room for improvement, and you're going to accept that and value that for perhaps more than it's worth, purely because you feel lucky to have someone who thinks you're good enough or worthy enough to date, if that makes sense. Whereas if you have a high self-worth, I've always been proud of the fact that I, you know, although I've got my insecurities, I've never settled for a man that I don't feel deserves me. So because my standards are high, because I know that I'm a great person who has a lot to offer, I'm going to meet lots of different men. Well, not now, but I would have met a lot of different men throughout the course of my single years. And most of them would get to this point, which is my standards, and I'd be like, how do they stack up? And most of them don't stack up at all. And so nothing happens. And then all it takes is that one, which you will inevitably find if you open yourself up and allow yourself to be single to meet the right person and not just settle for someone because you don't like being alone. You'll meet that right person and your world will transform. But only you have the power to do that, because so many people would rather just be in a relationship with the wrong person than single, waiting for the right person, because being single can be hard and uncomfortable sometimes, and it is really nice to share your life with someone. It's so tempting to want to get back with someone after you've broken up with them. Like, I went through that with, you know, other relationships. You want to get back with that person because it's familiar and it's comfortable and it once made you happy. But if you're going to be accepting that kind of love should be unconditional. And if you've broken up at some point, it's not unconditional. And so it fell apart. So people will choose that kind of relationship because they once found happiness in it. Even though I liken it to having like a smooth piece of paper and then scrunching it up, and then trying to smooth it back out and make it completely smooth again. Like you can still have that same piece of paper, but once it's been scrunched up, which is, you know, the breakdown of a relationship, once you've broken up, sure, you can get back together, but it's never going to be the same as it was at the start. It's never going to be that completely smooth piece of paper. And you deserve that smooth piece of paper. I mean, every relationship's going to have ups and downs. That's like, it should have those anyway, because that's how you grow together, not only as an individual, but as a couple. So I always encourage these people that have gone through breakups or whatever to kind of sit with the idea and the thought that perhaps it's going to be uncomfortable. It will be uncomfortable being single for, you know, an indefinite period of time. No one knows. But if you meet the person that you truly deserve, it doesn't matter how long you were single for, because that kind of love, there is nothing in the world like it. Nothing will ever compare to it. And once you've felt it, you just laugh at all of those other situations you've been in or relationships like I do now, because you thought they were something that they absolutely weren't. But you only get that perspective once you've met the right person. And you can only meet the right person once you're single and you've allowed yourself to be open to meeting someone, rather than just staying in a relationship that's familiar but not necessarily ideal or healthy. So know your worth before you enter into a relationship. And once you're in that relationship, you need to audit it and audit your self-confidence and your self-esteem and how you're talking about yourself. So when you first, you know, start up in a new relationship, the idea of your partner cheating on you would obviously make you super jealous, sad, insecure. You would feel like probably, I mean, I know I'm just speaking for myself at least, if Reese had cheated on me when we first started dating, I would have taken it as something that I was lacking in. It's strange, really, when I think about it, because it's like, I wouldn't date anyone that I didn't feel like, you know, deserved me. But then once I was dating that person, I was still insecure that I wasn't good enough, even though I thought that I must have been good enough in order to deserve them in the first place. I don't know. That's really strange. That's like an oxymoron. But anyway, if he had cheated in our first couple of years or so of dating, I probably would have taken it as a reflection of me or something, because I was just younger. I was more insecure. I was kind of figuring out like who I was, and I had never had a serious like long-term relationship before. But that soon changed when I kind of grew up and became more confident in, truly confident in what I bring to the table and to a relationship and how good of a person I am. I realized that if anyone cheated on me, it's their loss. Obviously, I am going to feel a sense of loss too, because I wouldn't be dating my partner if I wasn't utterly deeply in love with them. But first and foremost, I wouldn't be taking it as a sign that I am not good enough. I would wonder if there's anything that I did that contributed to it or didn't do. Of course, you're going to wonder that. It's just human nature. But at the end of the day, I would be just reminding myself their loss. Like, I know that anyone would be lucky to date me, just like I know anyone would be lucky to date Reese, and we'll never cheat on each other anyway. But if someone went and did something like that, I would be thinking, what a stupid decision. I would be absolutely heartbroken, obviously. I'd be absolutely fuming and angry. And I'm sure I would have moments where I would think about things that I did wrong or things that I could have done to prevent it from happening or something. Of course, you're going to think those things, as I said. But generally, I wouldn't be thinking, oh my God, it's all because of me. I would be genuinely thinking, what an idiot. It's his loss. Eventually, I'll get to that point, because I'd have to keep reminding myself, which we do have to keep reminding ourselves. And that's what I'm saying with auditing, is you do have to keep reminding yourself in a relationship what you bring to it, how amazing you are, what you have to offer. Otherwise, it can be quite easy to fall into a trap of, you know, forgetting that you are this amazing person that you are. And a lot of the time you can lose your sense of identity in a relationship because you kind of become complacent. You just fall into your routines, and you might not, especially if you've, you know, if you're raising children, that's even easier to lose your sense of self, because you've had to prioritize, you know, raising other little beings for however many years. So your own sense of self kind of gets pushed to the wayside. But it is so important because the moment you lose sight of the amazing person that you are, that just, it creates cracks and vulnerabilities that could potentially allow bad behaviors or bad treatment or that kind of thing to slip in. If you find this kind of thing hard to do, or if you wouldn't know how to audit your own relationship or self-worth or things like that, think about a situation that you were in with your partner recently that was uncomfortable to you in some way. You know, you were upset or felt hurt. Imagine your friend was telling you that they had just been through that. What advice would you give to them? It's hard, sometimes hard to think about yourself from an objective perspective and to, you know, take action based on that, because, you know, you've got all your feelings and emotions and thoughts, and sometimes you just need an outsider's perspective who doesn't know all of the little feelings and emotions and thoughts and past hurts and resentments and all those things that have built up, that are just taking that situation for what it is at face value. And they can generally say, oh, that doesn't sound okay, that doesn't sound fair, or maybe you're being a little bit harsh, or maybe you're overreacting, maybe he's overreacting or she's overreacting. So if someone came to you seeking advice, like, how would you answer them? How would you help them? I feel like that is a really good way of getting a bit more of a zoomed out perspective on any kind of situations going on. I really enjoy talking about relationships. I feel like that's one thing I'm good at when it comes to advice or deep and meaningful conversations. I hear that a lot from friends or family. So I think it'd be cool if people send in any questions they had about their relationships, or if they want like a, you know, an outsider's opinion on something, because I love that stuff. I'll make a Gmail account or something like that, and I'll link it in the caption or description of whatever platform you're listening to this on. We can start a whole new segment of Mental Makeover, which was not actually a new segment. I've had the little Ask Loz thing for a while now, and I just went back and looked at my statistics on my podcast page, and those ones actually get more listens than the other ones, which is crazy to me. I didn't realize that was the case. So that's wonderful, because that's the stuff that I like to talk about the most. And in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. I love you all so much, and I will speak to you all very soon. Bye, guys.